Well, guys, it is a joy to be launching a new series today. Why don't everyone say new? Come on, let's do that again. Say new. It's a new series. We're going to be doing this for the next 4 weeks, and it is called The Pursuit of Healthiness. And for those who don't know, my wife and I have a 10-month-old at home. He is such a blessing from God, such a beautiful little boy. His name's Brave. And every single night since he was born, Eb and I have this nighttime routine we do with him. And part of that routine is that we will pray for him together as a family. And so he's 10 months old. I don't think we've missed a night where every single day we just lay our hands on him and we pray. And it's part of our nighttime routine. And I know the one thing that Eb and I will pray over our son with a heart of a father, a heart of a mother, is we'll just ask that God would bless him. And we just pray over his future. I just pray every night that God, you would bless him. Bless him all the days of his life. Bless him in every single area of his life. And that's the heart of a great father, right? And I'm not talking about myself, but a good dad wants their children to win. They want their children to be blessed. And it's not like in one area, but in every area. That's what I'm praying over him, that Lord, you'd bless him in every area of his world. And I want to launch this series by sharing this good news about who God is. Because all of us come to God, to church, to our own walk with God, with a particular lens and view of who God is. But I want us all to know here today, the heart of God is that you and I would flourish and prosper and be blessed in every single area of our life. Like, if I'm like that with my son, I'm an earthly dad filled with mistakes and sin, how much more would God in heaven want his children, you and I, to be blessed? And it says this is the key verse for our whole series, 3 John 1 verse 2. I recommend we should all memorize this over the next 4 weeks. Let's look into the Word of God. The Apostle John says, and he's writing to the church, okay? He's writing to believers. And he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." Everyone say all. "And be in health just as your soul prospers." This is a powerful prayer that reveals the heart of God, that you and I would prosper in all things, all things. Let that hit your heart here today. That the heart of God is that you and I would be blessed, be successful, prosper in every area of our world, in our finances, in our relationships, in our soul, in our physical health, the Bible tells us, in our mind, in every area. We have a Father in heaven who is saying, "I want to bless you." And some of us can sometimes be tempted to think that God is just interested in our spiritual life and not anything else, right? And I would encourage us here today, it couldn't be further from the truth. Of course he's interested in our spiritual life, but he's interested in every single part of our life. His blessing, when God blesses you and when God blesses me, it comes on every area of our life. Psalm 35 verse 27 says this, "Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." God has pleasure when you and I are being blessed in our life, when we're physically healthy, when we're spiritually healthy, when we're healthy in our soul, when our mental health is flourishing, when our thought life is going well, when our finances are going well, when our marriage is going well. It actually brings God's pleasure. And I hope here today, over these next 4 weeks, that each of us would have a little bit of renewing of our mind of who God is. Because we are in the pursuit of healthiness, but we're not doing that alone. We have a God who's partnering with us. And we have a Bible written by God that has ways that you and I can be blessed and prosper and be healthy in every area of our life. And so we are going to go very practical over the next 4 weeks. We're going to look at 4 areas. You ready? We're going to look at financial health, God wants us to be financially healthy. We're going to look at relational health. God wants us healthy in our relationships, in our marriage, our friendships, our parenting. God, we're going to look at spiritual health. We're going to do that next week. We're going to look at how to be spiritually healthy, and we're going to look at our emotional health. Ooh, that's going to be good. Emotional health. I'm looking forward to that. So today, we're going to do a deep dive on the first one, which is financial health. Financial health. And before I start, I know half of you are already going like, why? Why would we talk about this in church? Isn't this a little bit awkward? Like, what do you mean we're going to talk about money in church? But can I encourage everyone here that we are committed as a church to talk about every area that affects you and I in our real life? And I don't know if it's just me, I'm sure you're like me, that finances are a real area that can be a great blessing, but it also can cause immense stress. It can be awesome, it can be challenging. And the cool thing is this, the Bible is filled with promises and wisdom and ways that you and I can live financially healthy. God will never want us to prosper in an area of our life without giving us ways to do so in His Word. And I just want to say one last overarching thing, that no matter where you are today, where I am today, the heart of this message and every single week, that none of us would feel guilty or ashamed. See, we all have areas we can grow in every area of life, and we all go through different seasons. In this room, there'd be people, and I've been in all these seasons personally, seasons where finances are going good. There are other people right now, finances are quite a stress. But wherever we are, I just want us to know there's no guilt or shame today. But today is guilt-free, and I want to encourage us, we can't change our past, but you and I, with the Holy Spirit's help, can always change our future. And that's why we love you enough as a church and as pastors to talk about the real stuff in life, the real stuff in church, even though it can be a little bit fun. So everyone, look to the person next to you and say, this is going to be fun. Yeah, you're not convincing me, but that's all right. You need more coffee, people. I need a mandate, like 2 shots of coffee every day before you come to church. Just joking. All right. Well, guys, if you're not aware, our senior minister, his name is Pastor John Pierce, and he is a phenomenal leader. He has a great revelation around our financial world. Pretty much everything I'm going to share today, he has shaped my thinking and my mindsets through his teaching. And he's actually been teaching this concept called the Wheels of Financial Blessing. He's actually written a book that I'd highly encourage anyone to read who right now this is an area you'd like to grow in. And the concept changed my life and my thinking. And he said, let's go on this journey together, that is like a car. And a car has how many wheels? Has 4 wheels. And the concept is that we need in our car all 4 wheels to be inflated, pumped up, and healthy to get that car moving, right? It doesn't matter if we have like the nicest front left tire and we've like polished it and inflated it and it's perfect. If we're missing the back right tire, it's completely gone, and the front right tire is like scraping the ground, who knows, that car's not going to go anywhere, right? And so, from the Bible, he encouraged us, there's 4 areas of our finances, and they're like the 4 wheels of a car. It's having the right mindset, wise stewardship, generosity, and a spirit of faith. And so I encourage everyone to either go on our YouTube, we have messages on all 4 wheels, but I love this thinking. It's like a holistic way to grow in this area in our life. We need to have a right mindset. We need to understand what the Bible says about money. We do not think like the world. So we're not trying to learn what the world says about money. And we don't want to live in a poverty mindset that tells us God wants us to be poor. But what we want to do is find ourselves in a biblical mindset. In everything we believe, it always has to come back to what does the Bible say? Having a biblical mindset. Just, I'll throw a few out there. For example, God is a provider in name and nature. That's a mindset. God is a generous father who loves to bless his children. That's a mindset. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. We are blessed to be a blessing. We should be content no matter our circumstance. Woo, that'll preach. Come on, that's what the Bible says. And it takes maturity to handle wealth well. There's some examples. So number 2, I won't be talking about this today, is generosity. The Bible says the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Those who are generous to others will themselves be blessed. And so generosity is a tire. A spirit of faith. That means you and I need to spend time praying over our finances, hearing God over our finances. And number four that I'm going to focus on today is wise stewardship. Wise stewardship. So I remember when Ebony and I first got married, we were quite young when we got married. I was 21 and Ebony was 21. Does that sound right? Maybe I was 20. And we were pretty young. And I just remember when we were saving for our wedding, I'm sure if we all go back to that time in our life, it's quite an expensive season. And so Eb and I like put hours together getting this whole massive budget of our life. Of, all right, and I can see some people here, like they're nodding, they're about to get married, aren't you, Jack and Emma? Should I call out some dating couples that are about to get married? And no. And so I just remember we were like, all right, the wedding ring's going to cost this much. The honeymoon's going to cost this much. The wedding's going to cost this much. The reception's going to cost this much. We've got to move out. I remember sitting with my mum and I'm like, so what are the expenses when you live out at home? And I have never felt more depressed in my life than when I left that meeting going, what? You mean like 80% of our money goes towards that? And so we did this massive budget. And we went to hustle season. Like I was full-time uni, a youth pastor. I had two jobs. We worked really hard. And the long story short is we were very wise stewards in that season. And not because of us, because of God. We got through that. God blessed us. But then came the first year of marriage. And I'll never forget, at the end of our first year of marriage, we went on our first road trip. And let me tell you, friend, there's nothing like a road trip to test the strength of your marriage, if you know what I'm saying, in every area. And so we had lots of fun learning things about each other. But anyway, I do remember, like, on this road trip, we were having so much fun. We were, like, going down the East Coast, stopping in here, stopping there, having fun. And we had about 4 days left of our road trip left where we go to buy dinner and the card declines. I'm like, oh, okay, like must be some kind of mistake here. And I open up my app and I found out to my embarrassment that we had like less than $20 to our entire name in our bank account. And I'm like, okay, I just remember feeling very embarrassed. I remember feeling quite panicked, like, okay, we're in Sydney right now and we have $15 and no food to eat. And you know, the long story short is we survived the week. But can I tell you, for me and for my wife, Ebony, it was a wake-up moment. Do you remember that? Yeah, that's good. It was a wake-up moment. It was like, oh my gosh, we had been such good stewards before the wedding. And then what I realized, I didn't realize it in the moment, is that, hey, came back from the honeymoon, life's good, baby, chilling. And all of a sudden, we weren't running a budget. All of a sudden, we just let go of money management and we literally found ourselves in a place for the first time in my life where it's like we literally have like $10 to our in our bank account. Holy moly. And I had reflected, I'd become lazy. And together we hadn't been good stewards. I'd become a poor steward. And it began a great journey for us. I thank God for it now because that wake-up call helped us. Because basically what was happening, I'm trying to drive this financial car, but this, I don't even have a wheel there. It's like gone, baby. I'm like, this car is not moving. And so we had to go to work and go, all right, when we got home, let's learn how to budget properly. Let's pump up that tire. Let's learn how to manage money and have awkward conversations in our marriage. Yeah, who loves those, right? The finance budget ones. Let's pump up that tire. Let's learn like where to spend money, we're overspending, and so on so forth. But I tell you this, even though it's embarrassing, is that we learn a valuable lesson about stewardship. And maybe you haven't heard this word of stewardship before, but let me just help us understand what it means biblically. So Psalm 24 verse 1, it says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Let's think about that for a moment, particularly when it comes to our finances. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This is the foundation when it comes to stewardship, is that actually everything we have is not our own. It's actually God's. And the mindset shift is we are not owners, we are managers. That shift in thinking is what separates us from a kingdom steward to a worldly spender, is that we are managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. everything we have is not our own. So everything I have, it's not actually mine. The Bible says everything is the Lord's, but out of his goodness and kindness, he blesses us as his children. And we're not owners, but we become managers. We become stewards. Another way of wording it is, it has been entrusted to us, on loan to us for a season. But let me tell you, friend, when that day comes, I don't like it, we don't want to talk about it, but when you and I pass from this earth into eternity, guess what? We're not going to be bringing anything that is in this physical world with us. It's not ours forever. It's for a season. Matthew 25 verse 21 is a parable about this, and I won't go into detail, but it says this, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." This is a kingdom principle when it comes to every area of our life. If you and I are faithful stewards with the gifts God's given us, he will entrust to us more. If we're faithful stewards to the responsibility he's given us, he will trust us with more. If we're faithful steward with the finance he gives us in this life, he will trust us with more. And what I love about this is it's for every one of us. Whether we're earning $3,000 a year, $30,000 a year, $300,000 a year, it doesn't matter. God's not looking at our figure. He's looking at our faithfulness with what he's put in our hand right now. It goes on to say in Luke 16, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." And I know this is hard, and I needed to hear this in that season, but I guess a bit of a temptation for all of us, okay, including myself, that I've fallen into, is the thinking of, I will do a budget when I start earning more, or when we get through this hard season, or when this or that. I will start tithing when. I will start saving when. And I guess I would encourage us that the key to stewardship, it's actually not in the future, it's in our now. How am I stewarding now what God has entrusted to me? But the good news is, as we put God first, as we're faithful with what he's placed in our hand, as we're good stewards, it is an amazing journey to partner with God. And as it says, he will trust us with more. So here today, I just want to look quickly at three principles of how to be a good steward. Give me a wave. Is this helping anyone here today? I told you it'd be a little bit fun. Well done, well done. You're doing good. But my first thought of how do we be a good steward? Yes, but how, Dan? This all sounds great in concept, but how can I do this? And the reality is we all live a full life with pressure, time pressures, stress, kids, like I fully get it. So let's just look at three principles from the Bible. And my heart for all of us here today is not that we go away with 20 things that we feel next to do. Just as I'm sharing some of these thoughts from the Bible, what's one next step for each of us to do? That's what my encouragement. So don't get overwhelmed. But number one is put God first. Put God first. And they'll get more practical, but this is the most powerful. I love to talk about this by sharing a life verse with you. I remember when I proposed to Ebony and she said yes. It was obviously one of the most beautiful moments in my life. I was still shaking from the nerves of trying to get out my poem that I thought I'd be able to remember. And I was so awkward. I was a mess. But anyway, I got it out. She said yes. And I hadn't planned this, but I actually just felt, okay, we're now going to get married. It hit me right there and then. And I'm like, let's pray right now. The first thing we did after I proposed and she said yes, I think, let me know if I'm wrong, is we prayed together. And I just prayed this verse over our life because for me, it's a life verse. For us, it's a life verse. And it says this in Matthew 6:33. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." Another way of wording that is seek Jesus, seek God above all else. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. Oh man, this verse is so powerful. I love this because some teaching out there makes Christianity so difficult. And we can leave church going, I feel like I have to do 100,000 things and I'm a mess and I'm like, what do I do? But this verse comes back to, hey, just seek first the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. And so Eb and I made a decision that day and we have built our marriage on this scripture coming up to 9 years for us of let's seek God first in every area of our life. And we just make that decision even before we know what that means. And let me tell you, one of those things that meant that we didn't know at the time was that we would be moving to Melbourne to start a church in 2019. And we didn't know that at the time, but we had pre-decided in our marriage, in our lives, this is foundation for us. Yeah. Put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Live righteously. What does that mean? Live His way. And so when it comes to my health, how do I live His way? When it comes to my marriage, how can I live His way? And what we're talking about here today is when it comes to my finances, how can I live righteously? How can I live His way? But it is attached with a promise. And that promise is that He, God, will give us everything we need. Another version says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Man, this is powerful. And pretty much every good thing that has happened in my life, I attribute to this verse. It's He who's brought it, not Eb or I. We haven't had to force anything. It's just God's goodness because we put Him first. And I remember a moment in action for me is when I was in that hustle season I was talking about before the wedding. I had this job and we have this perfect plan and I'm a planner. I'm one of those personalities that get a little bit stressed when my plan gets messed with, right? Can anyone relate to me? Any other fellow control freaks? Yep. All right. We're getting healed. We're getting transformed. But I can be a little bit like that, the old me. And I remember we had this perfect plan and I get a call from my boss and he said, Dan, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but in 7 days we are closing our business down. It's not viable anymore. And I just remember my first thought, of course, is to absolutely freak out. It's like, okay, we're like 3 months out of our wedding. We had a plan and the plan is going to poo-poo in 7 days. Like, what the heck? And at that time, we lived on the Sunshine Coast. And it was just seasonally, but it was like impossible to get a job in that season. Like, it was very, very difficult. And so I had two options in that moment. Like, would I go to my nature, which would have been to fear and to worry and to panic and to freak out? Or am I going to go to God and to faith and trust in Him? I learned a powerful lesson there. Even though I look back now and go, it wasn't that big a deal, but at the time it was the world. But I learned a lesson there that I've carried in other moments when similar moments have come to me. Am I going to go to fear or am I going to go to faith? And I just had the weirdest peace in my heart. It almost didn't make sense. And I got off that phone call and I just remember going, you know what, God? I seek first Your kingdom. I live righteously. I'm a tither. I put You first. I trust You. You're going to look after me. I had such a peace. And do you know what? Within 7 days, I did not even put one resume in. Remember, it was near impossible to get a job. I literally had a job I walked into on the 8th day that paid better, that had better hours, that worked better for me, that I loved. And I didn't even have to put a resume in. I didn't do anything, which is so unlike Dan Frecker, okay? And I just went, wow, God, this, like, for me, it was this lesson of when I put God first in my finances, He always gives me everything I need. Now, does that mean life is always perfect when we put God first? Of course not. We will all go through great seasons and challenging seasons, but it does mean that in the challenging seasons, we can trust the Lord. And one of the ways we can put God first, it's not the main point of my message, but I encourage everyone to do your own study, is what we call the tithe. And the tithe literally translates to tenth. And it says in Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? It's God's house. It's the church. So there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour a blessing out so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it and put me to the test. And you know, for me in that moment, what I love about tithing myself and what why Ebony and I love tithing is it's almost like it takes the pressure of being the provider off me and I give it to God, because the tithe is attached with a promise. And that promise is that the God of heaven and earth will provide for me and my family. How amazing that He'll open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out. And He says, put me to the test. I can't even think of anywhere else in the Bible where God says to do that. And so my encouragement, if this is the main thing that speaks to you about putting God first, put Him to the test. Give tithing a go. Just step out of the boat and go, I'm going to give it a go for a month. And I know that God will come through for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Number two, the sexiest word in church, live with a budget. Everyone say budget. Oh, that was a buzzkill. Everyone's just like, let me leave now. Let me change your thinking around budgets. So why did Eb and I fall into the trap of running out of money? Why did we go from wise stewards to poor stewards? Well, simply put, we started to live without a budget. We didn't have a plan. And I would encourage us here today, budgeting is biblical. Let's look at Luke 14:28. Jesus was talking about a parable and he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost? And he's talking here about like planning, about estimating what something is going to cost us. And I love that this thinking that a budget is simply a plan. So maybe let's not use the B word and use the P word. We need a plan. It's telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. Planning isn't a lack of faith. It's an act of wise stewardship. Proverbs 27 says this, verse 23, from King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. He said, be sure you know the condition of your flocks, for riches do not endure forever. And obviously right now in 2025, we don't have sheep and flocks. And if you do, that is flipping awesome. Can I go and pat them after church? But I don't have a flock. But you know, he was saying, make sure you know the condition of your flock. Well, we don't have flocks, we have dollars. And I love this sort of, make sure you know the condition of your finances. And some great questions around being a wise steward of this principle is paying attention, making a plan and tracking what we steward. Some questions to ask, maybe we can reflect on with our spouse or by ourselves, is how much do we earn in a month? How much do we spend in a month? Where is all our money going? Do I know? And what job am I giving every dollar? There are a few great questions just to know the condition of our finances. You don't win by mistake so often in life, but it's very hard to succeed without a plan. And that's in every area. As we're going to be looking at relationships, it's hard to succeed without a plan. When we look at our spiritual health, it's hard to succeed without a plan. And I just want to encourage us. I know it's not the sexiest word, but when it comes to our finances, how are we going with building a plan? And I'll never forget a lesson my mum and dad taught me, which has just really helped me, and I'm sure some of you can relate to back in the day when you get your pocket money, and we used to get half our age. I can't remember if it was a week or a month, but if I was 10, I maybe got $5 a month. And my mum got me 4 containers and labeled them. One was called spending, one was called God, one was called give or generosity, and one was called save. And you know, to this day, that is how Eb and I make a plan around our money. And I remember my mum taught me, put 10% to God. So you get your $5, put that 50-cent coin in. And I remember little Dan would bring it to kids' church and bring my tithe to the storehouse. And I was so blessed to learn that from a young age. 50% goes into give. So that's like, how could I be generous? Maybe I had a friend who was needed help, or we gave to compassion, helping a child in Africa who was struggling with poverty. Maybe it's giving to certain things, whatever, and 10% for saving. And do you know what? To this day, I found that a great goal when it comes to finances is to go, all right, 10% to God, and then working out the rest. How much am I going to put aside to be able to give above to things that are on my heart, or to saving for the future? And this is all a season. So maybe right now you're like, Dan, I can't give anything above this or that, but just to make it a goal. And I love the bucket analogy. Like a great, you know, I've just heard someone say a great goal might be 70% to spending and then 10, 10, 10. Or in other seasons in Eb and I's life, it's been like 85% spending, 10% to God, and then like 2% and 2%. Like whatever it is, it's just a great way to think about it. And one last verse around saving for the future. It's biblical. Proverbs 21. The wise store up choice food and olive oil. Often when we're reading the Proverbs, you have to remember we're looking at an ancient Hebrew culture, but a fool gulps all of theirs down. And so you and I, there's no guilt or shame, as I share, but getting to a place where we can be putting aside some for tomorrow, for a rainy day, for emergencies, for retirement, for future investments. Once again, it's not bad or sinful to do that. It's actually wise stewardship. So maybe out of today, we need one encouragement is if this is just like, oh, this world is so full on right now. One thing to maybe do is go, all right, let's book in a time with your spouse or just have a coffee by yourself and go, we're going to dive into this for an hour. And my tip is make it as fun as possible. Get your favorite drink, have fun music playing. Sometimes if Ev and I know we might bicker a little bit, we might have it in church so Toby can hear us or have it at a cafe where you can't yell at each other. I'm just joking. That's just me. But I think that's one idea to do, just to sit down together. And my last quick thought as I close today, how do we be good stewards is be wise users of debt. As I shared earlier, money stress is so real. And I'm so aware there might be people sitting here going, Dan, I am like stressed to my eyeballs with finances. I want you to know today, God sees that. He loves you and there's going to be a way forward for you with him. But money can be one of the biggest forms of stress in our world. It can put so much pressure on our life. I know even in marriages, it can be such a stress point and frustration even in our marriages, in our work, in every area. And the Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 7, and I'm going to refer us shortly to a man named Dave Ramsey. He's an American pastor who is a genius at helping people flourish financially with a biblical worldview. And the verse I've heard him say more than any other is this. It says, the rich rule over the poor because the borrower is slave to the lender. And he teaches this idea that debt is almost, in some time, it's a form of slavery because we're stuck in this thing where we owe money to X, Y, and Z. And the good news is that God does not want you and I to be slaves to anything in this world. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And so just a great thing we see all throughout the Bible is being wise with our use of debt, being careful what we get loans for, and just being using wisdom. And one of the greatest financial advice I could give anyone that I try to live myself is find a mentor. Find someone in church or in your family where you go, I really look up to them and how they manage their money. Eb and I have done this many times over the years. And then we ask them, can I shout you a coffee? And I'm going to bring five questions and I'm going to ask. I remember when I'm making big decisions around finances, I'll always call 3 to 5 people who are down the track and just go, is this a good idea? Would you do this? And can I tell you, there was one moment Eb and I were about to jump on something that would have had a lot of impact on our life around debt. And one man who I really looked up to in our church, and he just said, Dan, I don't think it's a good decision. And you know what? We listened to him. And to this day, I thank God because it would have been like a noose around our neck trying to drag us down to the bottom of the ocean. And so I'm grateful for wisdom. And so one last thought as I invite the band up. Dave Ramsey shares this amazing thought around if there is anyone struggling with debt right now, he shares what's called the snowball method. And so let me just share this stuff. And I recommend, why don't you look at him on YouTube or online. But number one, the debt snowball method works like this. List all your debts from smallest to largest, not worrying about the interest. So just go, this one's $5,000, this one's six. List them down. Make the minimum payments, step two, on all your debts except the smallest debt. Step three, throw as much money as you can on the smallest debt until it's gone. And so it's attacking that smallest one. Step four, take what you were paying on your smallest debt and add that to the payment on the next smallest debt until that's gone too. And then step five, repeat until each debt is paid in full and you're completely debt free. And this method's amazing because it just helps us to go, all right, from smallest to largest, you build momentum, you're winning, and you hit them out one by one, baby, and it's such a great day. I love Dave Ramsey. He has this moment where people go, I'm debt-free, and that you should see the smile on their face. So as I land today's message, I hope we can all get one thing out of today. How do we be good stewards of our finances? Maybe the first thought was the one that spoke to you about putting God first. So you and I are people who put the Lord first in our finances. Number two, it's living on a budget / plan. Let's make a plan. And so maybe out of today, we need to go and just spend some time diving in again, going, how are we going? What adjustments do we need to make? Or number three, wise use of debt. Maybe that debt snowballs. A great thing to take out of today, just to nip those things out of our world and just getting free from that as that scripture shed. And just remembering, there's no guilt, no shame. Just what's one next step for each of us? And that's what I love about God. He's so gracious. He only ever asks us to grow one step at a time. And I know that on the other side of this, as you and I put God first, you and I will be people who are financially healthy. We will prosper in all things, even as our soul prospers. But can I just ask us all to close our eyes for a moment? I just really felt today to land this praying for anyone who right now finances are quite stressful. And I just felt in my spirit to pray a prayer of faith over you. I believe you're going to leave this place, even though the physical numbers might not change right in this moment, that your spirit will. You're going to leave with faith, knowing that God is with you. And so right now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe if you just know that's you, if things are quite tight or stressful, just in your heart, look to the Lord and let me pray with you right now. Father, I thank you today that you are such a kind God and a good Father. Lord, your heart is that we would be blessed and go well, not that we would live stressed and worried and anxious. And so, Lord, right now I'm praying over anyone who right now may be struggling in this area of their life. Lord, those who feel potentially hopeless, those who feel the weight of the world on their shoulders, Lord, those who are even struggling to sleep at night because of the burden that is on them, I pray right now that you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are not just the God of provision, you are their God of provision. And Father, I pray that things would just begin to turn around over their life, not by their strength, Lord, not by their might, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, even as I'm praying, let hope come again. Let faith rise again in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray you would provide for your people. Lord, you would provide in miraculous ways, in powerful ways. That Lord, let there be testimonies of your goodness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Amen.